5 minutes after the hour, it is Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for being with us here. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, and we're ready to get this thing rocking and rolling today. I'm very excited about the program. A huge lineup for you today. We're going to have Wyoming head men's basketball coach, good friend of mine, Jeff Linder, on the show. And Wyoming is interesting. I mean, they weren't very good last year, but they improved, and they surprised. What, didn't they win two games in the Mountain West Conference tournament last year? One of the only tournaments that actually got to play out. I think it was the only one, maybe. So there's something to kind of base off of. I'm excited though, because I think there's going to be this rivalry really growing throughout. You know, I know Wyoming and CSU it's already a bitter rival, but that is, I think increased a little bit more because of, well, I mean, the idea that Coach Linder might go to CSU once upon a time. And, you know, he was familiar with CSU while he was at UNC. Excited to talk to him. Be fun. And then later on in the second hour, Colfax, we're going to talk to Tad Boyle, CU men's basketball coach. And yet again, the expectations are sky high for this Colorado Buffs basketball team. I'll be very curious to see if they can deliver it. I'm going to ask Coach, yes, there's pressure, but because of the state of the world and COVID and all that, is there as much pressure? Because I think you're going to be really hard-pressed to, you know, certainly move on from a coach, but put a lot of extra pressure. I know the NFL is a different story, but college, man, you're dealing with so much. I can't imagine a college coach, Colfax, where, you know, Steve Adazio said on Monday, 15 to 20 kids, he's dealing with them being out on practice. And what he said was injuries, illness, and COVID related. Well, I'm not reading that positive tests are going crazy over there at CSU. So when you say COVID related, are you saying that some kids are a little bit concerned about it? So they're just like, you know what, I'm staying out today. Maybe if you do have the sniffles, you sit out because you're worried you might have it. So, again, how do you coach that? How do you build a team knowing that next week you might not have 5-6 guys that want to sit, you know, just want to sit out? It's interesting time. Interesting time for sure. And I don't know how much pressure you realistically put on coaches in 2020, 2021. But we'll talk about it nonetheless. I know Wyoming's excited for Linder. They're excited to see what he can do. Obviously, he grew this program at UNC. He recovered it after it was left in a really rocky spot because of everything that went down with Coach with BJ Hill. And then Linder comes in, and you have the sanctions against you, and you're not able to, well, it doesn't matter how many games you play, win or lose, you weren't able to play in any postseason for a year. And then the next year after that, boy, it was just, UNC got better and better and better. And he kept finding guys, you know, really good players, and recruiting. I mean, I'm reading that Wyoming's recruiting class or signing class was the best in the Mountain West Conference and like 53rd in the nation. That's really good. So Linder's not wasting any time. So we'll talk to him a little bit later in the program. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day, it's Broncos related, and it kind of stems from our conversation yesterday. After two wins in a row, do you think the Broncos will make it into the playoffs? Simple one today. Yes or no? And Colfax, 83% say no. No believers out there. Even after beating the Jets. Okay. I get it. It's really tough to get that excited about this team because you beat the Jets, who are an absolute train wreck. And you beat the Patriots. I still think they're better than what people are making them out, or at least better at that instance. They're saying, well, without practice and without all that, they weren't that good. Well, the Broncos have had their share of issues too, so why don't we just call that a wash? And the Broncos have had their unlucky start to the season with injuries. So, we're going to see what the Broncos are made of. Win or lose, we're going to see what they're made of against the Chiefs coming up on Sunday. And you got a Chiefs team that obviously offensively they're stacked. We know how good they are. You know, in the past, I think they're yards per game, they're what, third in the NFL? Passing, they're interesting in their passing attack because now they've got this great rushing attack in the mix. So they're like top five, top six in passing. But now they're adding the rushing numbers to it. And that's what's really helped them. That's what's been key for this team. And maybe it's only going to get better. Now you have Le'Veon Bell paired up with your sensational rookie, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They are, what, fourth in the league in running the ball. So offensively, they have no issues, really. I mean, it's hard, you'd be hard-pressed to find anything that they're bad at. The Chiefs' defense, that's where you got to go. You got to try to match them. And that was certainly the idea with Elway. In the offseason was, hey, we got to start building up on this offensive side of the ball and playing this track meet style of football that we see Kansas City in. The Chiefs really do remind me of the Golden State Warriors. You know, I know it's football and basketball, but when I watch the Warriors, they could be down 20 with 5 minutes left, and I'm still watching that game because I think Golden State's going to do something miraculous. That's how I feel with the Chiefs. I don't even know if we've seen the best of the Chiefs this season. Because, again, I know the preseason really, really benefits new guys on a team or young teams. So you would think, well, Chiefs don't really need the preseason that much. They're the Super Bowl champions. Yeah, you all need it. Every team needs it. We all need the preseason. It's four games of tuning up. So that's why you're seeing some up-and-down games right now. They've only lost one game, but certainly closer in some of those games. I mean, the Chargers had them on the ropes. So you two tend to look at that and say, well, okay, you didn't have 4 weeks of preseason. It was still a very strange time for everyone. Your off-season programs were much different. So teams that are typically even well-oiled machines are not as well-oiled as you would expect if this was a normal year. Teams that are young and trying to get better, well, it's taking them a little more time. Maybe that's the Broncos. Maybe the Broncos are in that, hey, you're young and you're not quite there. But now that we're progressing into the season, we're seeing a better Broncos team overall. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Holy cow. I mean, you guys are not giving the Broncos a prayer. 87% of the hooligans saying absolutely not. I tell you what, Colfax, 13 minutes after the hour, we'll get our first guest on the program, Jeff Linder. Head men's basketball coach for the Wyoming Cowboys, formerly the UNC Bears coach. Keeping a good relationship with Coach Linder, though. Excited to see what he can do with this program. We'll talk to him coming up next.
You want football? Set your dial to KFKA. Hear NFL games all season long on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Mark Knutson, WoodyPage.com and Rocky's Rundown. You've made it to the bigs because you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's sports station.
That's good. That's good. I think Coach will appreciate that. Joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline, Coach Jeff Linder of the Wyoming Cowboys. Coach, my friend, how are you?
That was a good lead-in song right there. You can always appreciate a little Bon Jovi with Wanted Dead or Alive.
Getting a little pumped up for the season, does that work? I mean, is that what you guys are going to blare a few times in practice at some point?
You know what? We mix it up the play sheet every day, and so that's a good one. We can't play that every day, but we'll throw a little Bon Jovi out there every now and then.
Yeah, I think you have to at some point, Coach. Crazy times for sure. You guys get rolling with practice last week. Are you starting to feel? I mean, again, adjustments for a coach in a new school too. I mean, there's so many different things for you heading into the season. Are you starting to kind of hunker down though and get a feel of somewhat normalcy?
Well, luckily for us, we've been able to practice since July 20th. So unlike probably where Coach Smiley and some of the guys down there in Colorado, it's amazing how just, you know, one step across the border can change things. And we've been fortunate where we've been able actually to work out. And so when, you know, in college basketball these days, it's such a long season. And back in the day, the first practice meant something. Well, nowadays, the first practice, usually that equals about practice number 30 or 40 based off of what you did in the summer or the fall.
And how much of a benefit, like you said, so many different, so different compared to where we are here with UNC and even what's going on with CU, CSU, where you are in Wyoming, being able to get those workouts, get all that schedule going in the summer, just like a, you know, kind of a normal off season. I mean, especially for you jumping in with a new program, I mean, it had to be extremely beneficial.
Yeah, taking a new program, I mean, to have the opportunity to where you have those extra days, I mean, you need every day that you can get. I mean, that's the biggest thing that I've been, you know, preaching to our guys is just, you know, the fact that just showing up every day and understanding the effort that you have to put in to be good at this level. And that was, you know, the fortunate part, you know, having been at UNC, and sometimes you forget, it's kind of like a woman being pregnant. If you probably remember what it was like giving birth, you probably would never have gotten pregnant again. And it kind of goes the same thing when you take over new jobs, is that you forget. And luckily Coach DeWeese is around because he'll remind me, like, you know, it wasn't just, you know, cupcakes and sunshine every day our first year at UNC. But it's a process of just every day of just showing up and putting in the work and understanding that the coaches, I mean, we're going to show up every day and the standards are going to show up every day and we're not going to lower it. And fortunately for me, I kept the right four guys when I got the job. And then you bring in, you know, a bunch of freshmen and some junior college players, and they have no idea, you know, what it takes to win at this level. So you need all this you need every minute you can get from a practice standpoint. And thus far, they've done a really good job. And, you know, it's not going to be one of those things where we figure it out overnight, but gradually over time, we'll get better and better.
I'm glad you brought that up, too. Your time with UNC, that very first year, Coach, I'll never forget, you know, that this program was in a very difficult spot because of the situation that had happened before. We all know that story. There's the sanctions against this program. So keeping guys, convincing guys to stay with this team, you know, knowing that knowing you weren't going to be able to compete in the postseason. Those were very difficult times. And do you feel like that season really helped you prepare for, you know, what you've gone through so far and jumping over to Wyoming?
There's no question. I mean, if I didn't go through that experience where, you know, you take over a program that, for lack of a better word, was in disarray, and to come here where, you know, I think from Coach Edwards had done a tremendous job in terms of, I mean, he was a great guy. I mean, and they did a lot of good things. I mean, just unfortunately, you know, as much as, you know, we're talked, you know, coaches keep their jobs for certain reasons, ultimately we're measured by wins and losses. And so, you know, for me to have to, you know, to just know that it's, you know, to be, for me, it's hard to be patient. It's hard for coaches to be patient, but just to know that having gone through that first year at UNC, that you're not going to just change it in one day. And so you can't lose your mind. You can't lose your mind on your players. And fortunately for me, when I was at UNC, I mean, to have Steve and DeWeese, Coach McGee, TG, to have those guys, the coaching staff that I did, that, you know, that we just every day we just showed up and we just say, let's just find a way to get better, knowing that, hey, better times are coming, and let's get those younger guys, JD, Jonah, Kai, the experience that they need. And then now you add to Spida Johnson and Tanner Morgan, who are redshirt, and then now you got a chance to win 26 games and win the league. And so I thought we did a really good job, and credit to, you know, Coach Smiley, Coach DeWeese, and those guys, that, you know, they were just as big a part of as I was. And that's what we're going to try to do here with Coach DeWeese and Coach Wicks, Coach Vandiver, and got to try to change it in a hurry.
We're talking to Wyoming head men's basketball coach Jeff Linder. And, you know, looking at this team last year, Coach, with Wyoming, you know, a rough season overall. I think like 9-24 or something like that. But the Mountain West Conference did play out. It was one of the only conferences that did finish before COVID really shut everything down. And what did they do? They went on and surprised a few teams. I mean, they beat CSU, who was a really, really good team last year. I think surprised a lot of people. And then Nevada, of course, winning 74-71. So when you look at that, you got to feel better about the situation, knowing, all right, there's a base. This team kind of showed that they were getting better down the stretch in some of the most important games.
Yeah, and they gave Utah State.
Sure,
I mean, it gave them a run for their money. I mean, it was a tie game pretty much with 2 minutes left. And that's where, for me, just to build off of that momentum and to, For a guy like Quan Marble, who's from the Denver area, played really well down the stretch. Hunter Maldonado was definitely not at 100% by the time the conference tournament came around, but he's an all-league guy. And then Kenny Foster and Hunter Thompson are two guys that, you know, I feel like the way that I want to play from an offensive standpoint were really good fits. And so to have those four guys back off of what they did, and then, you add some, really talented young guys who still don't know how hard it is to win games this level, and then just the discipline and effort that you need over the course of 150 possessions in a game to win. That's the challenge, but, excited for the challenge and excited for the opportunity that hopefully that we have this year, which God only knows what will eventually end up looking like, but hopefully we can get as many games in as possible.
Yeah, you mentioned the newcomers to this roster, though. I mean, you didn't waste any time. Top-ranked class as far as the Mountain West Conference. I mean, that's incredible to me, Coach. You didn't waste any time getting rolling there and bringing in a new generation of Cowboys.
Well, I mean, it's, rankings are, those don't mean anything once you get here. So as I try to make sure people know, it's nice to be recognized, but at the same time, the real work starts when you get here. No one cares if you're a five-star, one-star. I mean, look at that team we had at UNC last year that was really, really good. Those three starting guards, Jonah Radabaugh, Trent Harris, and Matt Johnson, they all started as walk-ons. And so at the end of the day, just trying to find the type of kids that fit the University of Wyoming. And I think that's the one thing we did a really good job of at the University of Northern Colorado is finding the right type of kids and to fit what we wanted to do, not just from a basketball standpoint, but really from a character standpoint. Coaches talk character all the time, but a lot of times they look the other way. And that's the one thing that we didn't do there and we won't do here. And hopefully in the long run, that allows you to have some sustained success and allows you to continue to get better every day.
That's one of the things I am always curious about, Coach, in that recruiting process. You got to find the guys that fit the type of style you want to coach, but also that personality. And there's no secret. Your teams, your defensively know how to stop the three. So I'm guessing that's one of the first things you're looking at as far as how they play defense. But like you said, high character guys. You want guys that really buy into what you're putting together.
I want guys that I know they're going to show up every day. I don't want moody guys. I don't want guys that, one day they're up, the next day they're down. I mean, I just want guys that I know, hey, they love to be in the gym. And a lot of times, kids think they love being in the gym until they get into the grind of the college season. And you realize quickly that there's very few that live it, and then there's a few more that love it, and then there's a lot that like it. So for me, I really, the like it guys don't do very well for me. But so at the same time, that's where we got to really do our homework and really dig in during the recruiting process to try to find out who really lives it and who loves it. Because those are the guys that ultimately over the course of time have a chance to get better and eventually let you allow you to win games.
Wyoming head men's basketball coach Jeff Linder joining us here on the program on our First Advantage Hotline. And how strange is this, though? We saw on the football side, Coach, if I can say this word out loud, Colorado State and New Mexico, they had to cancel their game. And, we're all getting ready to we're prepping for that game. We're getting going. And we might see a lot of that on the football side of it. Is that in the back of your mind already? I know we still have quite a few weeks yet till we start the season, but you're still wondering, all right, we're going to be prepping. Who knows? A game could be pulled out from underneath us at any time.
Well, and that's the big thing I've been telling our guys is that, my college coach once told me the great ones adjust, and that's all we've been doing since basically last spring is just adjusting, and you got to be flexible, and there's really no, hey, let's try to plan out a month in advance. No, you just kind of take one day at a time, just knowing that, hey, my trainer can walk in and at any point in time and just say, hey, listen, so-and-so, tested positive, or which you get, killed on is the contact tracing. And my guys, luckily I haven't had anybody test positive and done a really good job, which is hard for 18 and 22-year-olds to do, is to really try to keep yourself out of situations, parties, bars, whatnot, to where you're not increasing the risk of catching it. And they've done a tremendous job on that standpoint. But then, too, you run into a roommate whose girlfriend ends up having it, and now you get hit with contact tracing, and then you're out for 14 days. And so there's so many different layers to it. And I think it's the same, you just got to take one day at a time, and you kind of have to simplify some things, especially with a new team, where if I was still at UNC, Steve can do a lot more things just because he has a lot of returners and, guys that kind of understand what's going on. But for me right now, I mean, probably the best thing we can do is do less. And just making sure they understand the few things that we really value and support, and go from there.
And Coach, one more for you. We've got that conference schedule out, but still waiting to see what that non-conference schedule looks like. Any idea when we're going to get that? That's the thing. It's like, what do you got?
I got a dartboard in my office. I just throw darts every day at the schedule because that's ultimately if people ask like I have no. You have as much idea that just. Right now in COVID world, the contracts, they really don't matter. There's no validity to them. Just how can you travel, the testing. I mean, there's just a million different moving parts. And so hopefully I think we're going to have the ability to have some home games. But same time right now is like who we're playing. Well, I have a pretty good idea, but I mean, we're still looking for games. Everybody's looking for games. I mean, it's just it's a three-ring circus, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I've been talking. Obviously, we know you'll play the Rams because of the conference, but a lot of fans are like, hey, let's see that Wyoming-UNC game. Let's see Wyoming-CU. Let's see that kind of the localized games. I would love to see a lot of those games in the mix.
No, and there will be. That won't necessarily be from us, but I know that some of those other teams down there, which is a smart thing to do. I'm not going to go and play Coach Smiley and UNC right now. That's too close. And that would just be a tough thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I do think some of those games for UNC to play CSU, CU, I mean, those should be games that should happen every year.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there, Coach. And listen, we appreciate your time. I'm looking forward to see what you can do with this program. Like we talked about, a good base of returners and a lot of talent, at least on paper, for the young side of things. So I'm excited to see what you guys can put together. But more importantly right now, I'm excited to see what the rest of that schedule looks like.
Well, as soon as I figure that out, everybody else will know. But that could be we could be trying to figure that out come November 24th. So I could be calling Coach Smiley, and we could be saying, hey, you know what, we might need to find a way to play on November 25th. So who knows? But I appreciate the time, Brady.
Hey, I personally would love to see that game, but I get it, of course. And, Coach, looking forward to it, my man, and we'll try to get you on the program soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. That's Coach Jeff Lender, the Wyoming Cowboys. It would be awkward that first year, but wouldn't you love to see Wyoming and UNC go at it? Yeah, let's make that happen. We already know Wyoming CSU is going. Get CU in the mix there. I'd love to see, when I say Northern Colorado, I kind of look at the whole area of sports here, and Wyoming's kind of in that mix. Obviously, they're in the Mountain West, so we're very interested in what Wyoming's doing every single year. But now, obviously, we have the relationship with Coach Lender, going to follow along to see what he can do with this program. I'm excited, man. They were good at the end of the season suddenly. I mean, they found a way. They, in that Mountain West Conference tournament, Colfax, I thought they were going to do something crazy. Utah State was a ridiculously good basketball team last year, and I think Wyoming only ended up losing to them by 7 or so, and it was crazy. 32 minutes after the hour, we'll switch gears. We'll talk Buffs. We got a lot to get to today. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, will join me in just a moment. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, guys. Colin Coward, host of The Herd. What's up, Northern Colorado? You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
After the hour, welcome to the show. Welcome back, I should say. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me on our First Advantage Hotline, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, my friend, we're kind of delving into some basketball today. I know we're knee-deep in football, and football's right around the corner for some colleges, or maybe not, depending on which team you're following. But we're kind of getting pumped up about basketball around here.
Well, you know what? The way the schedule has gone, obviously, the last, 6 or 8 months here. I mean, we're all mixed up. I mean, nothing makes sense. So we might as well, it doesn't matter what you're talking about today, because chances are, in some form or fashion, it is that sports season right now.
That's it. Like in the summer, we learned we could just talk about anything. We did movie reviews for a while, for crying out loud. So, I mean,
I was on a call with a conference call here a few days ago with some of the Pac-12 guys. We got talking about that. that there was a day not long ago when we had an NBA Finals game, you had Major League postseason, you had NFL football, there was some college football stuff going, and it was all on the same day, you know, which never happens. But, hey, that's the world we live in now, so why not? Talk anything you want.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And you know, we're kind of looking, we're trying to get as many coaches on this week as possible, and we're catching up with Tad Boyle, actually, in the second hour of the program. And it's an interesting time, Mark. Now, obviously, there's got to be a sense of pressure on the Buffs because of that roster. It looks good again, and I think we're all, a lot of our you know, the fans, their expectations are high, but what do realistic expectations look like anymore when we're talking COVID-19 and wondering what really these programs can do out there?
Well, I think what the talent Ted has, the goal, legitimate goal, is NCAA tournament. You're competing for the Pac-12 title, and you're going to be involved in the NCAA tournament. Knock on wood right now that we're going to have a tournament
right.
This upcoming spring. That's a legitimate goal, and I think you look at that roster, and I think Ted will probably echo this when he gets on with the next hour. The difference between last year and this year, they're both very deep rosters. I think they're both very talented rosters. However, this year, when you get beyond those top five or six guys, you're dipping into very talented, inexperienced, youthful guys, where last year you had a little bit more seasoning, if you will, when those guys were coming off the bench. And so that's going to be a major difference. But boy, I've been around. We did a series of interviews with all the first-year guys, and those are some good-looking human beings, man. I mean, that's the way they're supposed to look, Brady. I mean, when those fellas came walking in the room, and, you know, we had to do the whole social distancing thing. We were doing television interviews, and those guys all looked the way they're supposed to look. So there's a lot of promise on this team from a talent standpoint. And then I got to tell you, I'm hard-pressed. I think certainly during my time, but I'm hard-pressed to think of what is potentially a more talented backcourt that Colorado has had. Certainly, I'm thinking over the course of my 16 years here, this will be number 17 for me, and I guess you got Spencer Dinwiddie and Askia Booker, and that was an awful talented backcourt. This backcourt between McKinley Wright and Keyshawn Barthelemy, I think could be magical this season. And so there's a lot of reasons, I think, to feel real optimistic about this team.
Yeah, well, and obviously you mentioned one of those guys. Both guys excited to see, but McKinley Wright, I mean, we all expect huge things from him. So he's looking at this season as, I want to make this the best as I possibly can for the Buffs, but this is also me putting together my resume, making that stronger, building up on my NBA draft stock.
Exactly right. And he's going to go down as one of the great Buffs of all time. There's no doubt about that. Now, what happens at the next level? I guess that's yet to be determined. But he's 3 years into a four-year career in which he has been all-conference level. He's been a guy that's been talked about on the national scene. And so, you know what to expect from him this season. I think he's going to have a monster senior year. What people haven't seen is Keyshawn Barthelemy. He's the young man that he was going to redshirt, or I beg your pardon, he was going to go to prep school last year, and he reevaluated and then decided to come and redshirt at the University of Colorado. Was a highly regarded kid, very athletic, and I'll tell you what, he gave McKinley Wright all he wanted in practice last year, and so that was a great prep for McKinley getting ready for his junior year. Keyshawn's a different kind of player, a little bit longer, extremely quick, shifty, and I think that backcourt's really going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, we all know what we're going to get from McKinley. It's going to be fantastic. He's the guy. We all know that. Everyone believes that. Everyone defers to him. But Keyshawn's going to be fun to watch this season, I think.
Another thing will be interesting to see some progression here. Obviously, Tyler Bay gone. You're going to miss that rebounding. But Evan Batty, I mean, he was a fun player to watch. We're going to be expecting even more from him this upcoming season.
You know, if the unquestioned leader of this team is McKinley Wright, which it is, you might say, I think Ted might agree with this, because of the emotional lift that he gives them, the kind of the passion he brings, he might be the heart and soul of this team. And I say that not taking anything away from McKinley. It's just Evan is so universally liked and loved by everybody, not just his teammates, but the student body and the staff and faculty on campus. He really is a fascinating guy. I said a moment ago that McKinley will leave here as one of the great Buffs of all time. I think Evan Batty's going to leave as one of the most beloved Buffs of all time. And so he's a big body. He's a unique player. You don't see a lot of guys that are 6'8", 265, 75 pounds, whatever he is, that have that kind of of elusiveness and that kind of passing ability. He's got a great basketball IQ, and so he's really a unique player by the time he leaves here. And so, yeah, I think they're going to miss the defensive effort by Tyler Bate. He was the defensive player of the year in the Pac-12. They're going to miss that because he was such a unique guy. But, you know, they've got Dallas Walton, they've got Evan Batty, they've got some other big bodies out there. And so I think they'll be fine. But, yeah, they're certainly going to miss what Tyler brought from a defensive standpoint.
What is the schedule looking like, Mark? Digging it all up, we know when we're getting the start dates and everything, but the Pac-12 certainly we're trying to get a hold on all those schedules as we go along here.
Yeah, and that we don't know. We know about that little tournament in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah.
They're going to play with South Dakota State and K-State in that event. That's the day before and after Thanksgiving. And outside of that, and Tad will be better to answer this than I will, I know they've been reshuffling everything because of the COVID thing, how that's being affected, who wants to travel, who doesn't want to travel, all these different kind of things that are playing into that. And I know they've been busy working on that. I'm still, you know, keeping my fingers crossed that Kansas State's still going to be on the schedule. I just really hope that's the case. But there's some non-conference things that are up in the air a little bit before they unveiled ultimately the Pac-12 schedule.
Yeah, that's the thing. And we were actually talking to Wyoming's head coach Jeff Linder moments ago, and you know, they don't have any of their non-conference schedule set. They have all their conference thing ready to go. That's got to be such a strange thing because, you know, you can tell me what you want about coaches, but they're still looking at that first game several months out, right? And they're prepping. They're thinking about that. Some of these teams don't even have that first game yet, or in CU's case, you have the first few games, but you're just not sure what's in between.
No, and that's always such an interesting process of putting that together. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the game Tetris. You're familiar with that, you know, where the things are dropping down and you got to find where the openings are and drop a little. That's kind of how it works, because just when you think you might be getting somebody, all of a sudden they call them and go, you know what, the 22nd's not going to work, but we can do the 23rd. And you got to respond, well, no, we had the 22nd, but we're bleeding on the 23rd because we're playing the 24th somewhere else. It's really a fascinating, kind of puzzle that they put together for that non-conference slate, and now they're being forced to do it in very short order after everything got turned upside down with COVID, and then it ends up being about the first 2 weeks of the non-conference were being erased because of COVID. But initially, remember that we thought that all of it was going to be, and that we wouldn't see any basketball in the Pac-12 until January 1st, till league play got underway. So, you know, I think there were probably a lot of schools on the other end from Colorado who, when they initially saw that, thought, oh, goodness, we're not going to be able to play the Buffaloes. We better find somebody else. And so they went scrambling as well. And so it's really been kind of a mess out there, and I know they're doing the best to kind of get that together.
Yeah, and that's the fun part about – I guess it's kind of the fun part about getting these coaches on, too, because, you know, for the first time in a while, they don't have every single answer right in front of them. So, I mean, they have to try to kind of go, you know what, we're ready to go. I thought it was interesting, of course, with CSU in New Mexico. That game's ready to go. We're talking about it. We're building up for it. And then I think Adazio on Monday said, you know, we don't know what the next day could bring. Boom, just like that, Tuesday morning, that game is done for.
Yep. Amazing how that happens. We're seeing that not only in the Mountain West Conference. We're seeing it in the Power Five conferences. We're seeing that in the NFL, the way they have to be nimble. And that's going to be the key, I think, all year long in all the college sports, is the ability to be flexible and be nimble. Now, they're going to do everything they can, obviously, on these campuses. I know Tad and his crew have been doing it. They're staying in their little bubble the best they can. The football staff with Carl Durrell and his guys have been trying to do the same thing. But if and when it hits, and you certainly hope it doesn't, you've got to all of a sudden be able to figure out, you know, how it's going to work. Okay, we can't play that game. We can play the next one. Get everybody isolated the way you need to, and all the different aspects of this that I'm not smart enough to understand. But it certainly is quite an undertaking we're going through in athletics right now.
Yeah, no question about it. Mark, appreciate you, my friend. And we'll look forward to catching up with you next week. Hopefully we get more answers on schedules. That's what I'm looking out for every day is all these schedules and on-conference schedules, full schedules, just so we can start getting set to preview a little bit more.
Well, when we hit 10 on next hour, tell him I told him to break some news in your show.
We
all know it, Daniel, pretty quick here.
I'm sure he's going to. I just have a gut feeling about it. Mark, appreciate you, man.
All right. We'll talk to you.
All right. I think he'll probably break that with Mark if he was going to do that. But maybe he has the schedule in front of him, you know, Colfax, and we'll get to see it. But, you know, it's a crazy time. You know, when you look at UNC getting set, you know, we're going to be putting together a hoop special for those guys as well. I got to tell you, I know it's COVID and it's weird, but when you think about all of the talent surrounding the teams that I usually discuss with CU, CSU, UNC, and honestly, we're going to be talking Wyoming this year. they're rebuilding, kind of rebounding, I should say. They won 9 games. I think they're probably going to shoot for a goal to win 3, 4, 5 more games than that. We'll see how that goes down. But it's an exciting time in the world of college Colorado hoops. And it's something where I'm passionate about it. I want to see the fan bases grow around here. I want to see people get excited about these programs, because CSU, they could go dancing. They really could go dancing this year. CU should go dancing this year. UNC, we know they have to win their conference. I would imagine when the Big Sky polls come out, which I'm a voter on that now this year, so that's exciting. When the preseason polls come out, you can put stock into them all you want, but I do. They're at least fun to preview. I would imagine that the Bears are going to be picked to at least finish number one or number two. So bottom line is, if you're a basketball fan, get ready, because it's going to be a lot of fun in the world of college basketball, at least around this area. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We're going to wrap up hour number one. Our Power to Play sports question, it's not basketball related, but I was talking about it yesterday, so I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Are the Broncos a playoff team? If you had to make a prediction based off the last 2 games, are they a playoff team? And 89% of the Hooligans say no. Wow. We may need a new poll question coming up in the second hour. We'll take a quick break here. Don't forget, we will have CU men's basketball coach Tad Boyle on the program in the second hour. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
There's no optimistic Broncos fans after beating the New England Patriots. Our Power to Play sports poll question is, I haven't seen one like this in a while, man. I mean, it's almost 90% of the Hooligans say no, they do not believe the Broncos are a playoff team. They're not going to make it to the playoffs, even though there's one extra team that's going to get in. It's a tough schedule. I know. I mean, they had to win that game, of course, against New England, because I think Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider on Monday, was telling us that, hey, they needed to really win one of these next two, the Patriots or the Chiefs game. And listen, the odds of winning and beating the Chiefs, that's not great. It's not great at this stage. But you look at Denver, and yeah, I understand. You look at that schedule, it's tough. Kansas City's going to be tough. The Chargers is, I mean, it's at home, I think. Yeah, it's at home. Are the Broncos going to be favored in that game? Chargers are 1-4, but they've played fairly well for a 1-4 team. They've kept games close. And again, that's also why when people say, oh, well, Seattle hasn't played anybody, and they're undefeated. Well, I mean, the Chargers are keeping it close with everybody out there, but they're 1-4, and that won't get you into the playoffs. They're not going to be a playoff team because of that, the way they started this thing out. They have to go on one heck of a run with a rookie quarterback to make that thing happen. So, I mean, you can sit here and say, well, they've barely beat some of these teams. Seattle did. Well, they find a way to win. I mean, that's just the way the Seahawks have operated for quite some time. I don't see a lot of blowouts. You know, even when the Seahawks were putting together the Super Bowl, of course, even when they were putting together, you know, great special seasons, they aren't always blowing teams out. So you have the Chargers. Listen, I like the Broncos to win that game, and then you're at Atlanta. So if you lose to Kansas City, you drop down to 2-4, and then I think you bounce back to .500 against the Chargers and the Falcons. So now you're a 4-4 football team going to Las Vegas in what promises to be an absolutely huge AFC West battle. And then Miami's after that. So I think that, I really believe this, at the very least, you're a .500 team before you go up against New Orleans at home. And that puts you at, what, 6-6 or something like that, I think? Yeah, it'd be 6-6 before you're against New Orleans at home, and then you're at Kansas City. So Yeah, it's going to be some a tough road for sure, a tough sled. But hey, who knows, man? It'd be a bonus if they found a way to upset the Chiefs at home coming up this Sunday. All right, second hour, we've got a lot to get to. Broncos, injury updates, who's coming back, who's going to be playing in this game, and what can we expect from that rushing attack that seems to be getting momentum, and now we probably have both of the Broncos starters in the lineup. We'll be right back.